On Sunday night, we're studying the Beatitudes here of late. And tonight, from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, I want us to spend our time looking at, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." In thinking about the idea of mercy, I came across this quote that I think really, at least in my mind, summarizes this idea as it relates to me and my life, and perhaps you can make the same association with it. It says, "When I survey the occurrence of my life and call into accounting the finger of God, I can perceive nothing but an abyss and mass of mercies, either in general to mankind or in particular to me." In other words, a person whose mind is in tune to the work of God and God's care in the lives of humanity, if they make a proper estimation of things, you can't help but see the mercy that has been extended by God to humanity. I mean, there are none, really, who because of their merit are worthy of mercy, but we have all received it. At least it has been extended to us by God. And yet, the irony in that is we often fail to extend it. But Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Tonight, I want us to focus our minds on this matter of mercy as it relates to our duty and responsibility to extend it to others. A good place to start, as always, is to ask the question, what is mercy? Now, I remember as a kid having a little game or playing a little game with my friends where you would squeeze each other's hands to the point of driving one another to their knees until you said, "Mercy! I can't take any more. Mercy. Grant me mercy." Now, that's not really it, but it does convey the idea. But here, we need to think about this idea of biblical mercy a little bit more. There are some things that it's not. For one, it's not tolerance and acceptance of sinfulness. If someone is engaged in sinful behavior, we might analyze the difficulty of their life and say, well, they need mercy. We just need to, you know, overlook it. That's not mercy, because God doesn't even do that. God is the epitome of mercy, but in passages like Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, God demonstrates that man's sin separates him from God. Mercy does not cross the gulf or the barrier of sin that a person will not repent of. Now, there's mercy extended in helping someone, but mercy doesn't tolerate, it doesn't accept sinful behavior in the name of mercy. What it is, really, is the compassionate treatment of those who are in distress. And whether that be the distress of sin, the distress of poverty, maybe the distress of mourning because of loss. It could be a number of different situations, but mercy is our compassionate treatment of people in desperate situations. Oftentimes, situations that we have experienced ourselves at some point in our lives. This does not suggest it's just a limitation or refraining from harsh treatment. You know, I could say, well, I'm being merciful. I'm not treating you the way you deserve to be treated. Well, that's not really the idea here, though we should refrain from harsh treatment. It's more about positive action toward people. It's more about extending mercy in a way and to a degree that's actually helpful, not just refraining, but actually helpful in some way. That, I think, gives us a good working idea of mercy. And we can see that play out in the remainder of this sermon. Number two tonight. Moving a lot faster than this morning. If I want to see a picture of mercy, you say, okay, well, you told me what it is, but what does it look like? Is there anywhere I can look and get that image and see it? Well, you probably can imagine already that I'm going to suggest that God is the standard of mercy. If we want to gauge our mercy by an accurate standard, then let's look at God and see, well, what he has done and what he does. God is merciful. Jesus said in Luke 6:36, therefore be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. God is, again, the epitome of this characteristic or this trait that we are trying to emulate. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You see in Luke 15, in the parable of the prodigal, a picture of mercy versus strict justice. And just to summarize, you're aware that the prodigal asked for his living, and he went off into a far country and wasted it on riotous living. He finds himself in a desperate situation that he brought on himself, and he comes to himself and he realizes the error that he has committed, and he resolves in himself he's going to go home to his father and he's going to say to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Here is an individual, according to this parable, who is very vulnerable. By his own actions, and because of his own life choices, and because of his own sins, he is in a place of desperation. And it would be easy for the father in this scenario to slap him around and say, I told you so. You got what you deserved. But the father in this portrayal is a picture of our Heavenly Father, and that's not what he does. In fact, when he sees him, he runs to him. He hugs him. He embraces him, and he receives him warmly. Now, not in the absence of penitence, not in the absence of a recognition that he had done wrong. All of those things are present. But the behavior that we hone in on is that behavior of the Father. And as I've said in a recent sermon, in contrast to the behavior of the Jews of Jesus' day that Jesus was really striking at. They were very unmerciful and yet criticized Jesus for eating with publicans and sinners. And Jesus used this parable to demonstrate their unmerciful attitude and heart toward those that Jesus was trying to reach out to and save. So we see a picture of God's mercy in the parable of the prodigal. He is merciful to those who are undeserving. You know the couplet of passages in the book of Romans, Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23, that teach us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of our sins is death. That's the just payment for our unrighteousness is death. All of us. We are undeserving, and yet God has been merciful to us. I like the way the psalmist put it in Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. Listen to this. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who hear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. And you probably experience situations like that as a parent, where you've seen your child step out of the boundaries and they're broken because of it, and you know their eyes are just filled with tears, and you have a choice of how you respond to that and the treatment of that situation. and you embrace them and you console them in those circumstances, much like our Heavenly Father does. The Father pities His children, and the Lord pities those who fear Him. He knows our frame, and we know the frame of our children, that they're weak and they're feeble sometimes, and they make mistakes. It's difficult to have those same realizations, though, as people get older, or older than children. They're more like our age and our conduct and behavior. We need to look to God and see Him as this standard of mercy. The presence of mercy, then, shows our God-likeness. You know, the more merciful I am, biblical mercy, the more like my Father in heaven I will be. What is mercy? God is the standard of mercy. Number three, we are commanded to be merciful. This is not one of those qualities where you say, well, some people have it and some people don't. We're commanded. If I want mercy, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, I have to be a merciful person, so this is expected of me. We're taught this by the example of Christ in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, where He said in the model prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who have transgressed against us. We're taught that by example as He taught His disciples how to pray. Mercy should be part of our character. It should be part of the fiber that makes up our being as Christians. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Is mercy part of my demeanor? Well, it will only be if I have it like a necklace around my neck, or if I have it written upon the tablet of my biblical heart. So it's part of our character. It must be. It should be. And I love it when the Bible gives me a quality that I am supposed to embrace, and then the embracing of that quality has benefits that are returned to me. You know, if you do this, it won't just be good for the people who are the recipients of it, it will actually be good for you too. Mercy is that kind of quality. Let me give you a couple of passages that demonstrate this. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 28. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness he upholds his throne. You remember the time when the kingdom of Israel was split into the northern and southern kingdoms, and Rehoboam had the opportunity to be king of Israel. But he sought counsel from the young men who had grown up with him instead of the counsel of the older wise men. And those foolish young fellows told him, make the burden on the people much harder than your father did. And so he did. He wasn't merciful. He didn't embrace this principle that mercy and truth preserve the king, and the loving, and by loving kindness he upholds his throne. He didn't do that. He did just the opposite. The kingdom splits and the majority of the people take off to the north to follow a man into idolatry and then into captivity. Mercy would have returned great benefit to him as a king if he had embodied it. Another passage along these lines, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 17. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. You get that? You want to be healthy in mind, in heart, emotionally healthy in your spirit, then be a merciful person. Because giving mercy out is like medicine to your own soul. At least that's what the Proverbs writer says. And I believe he's right. We are commanded to be merciful. And that even for our own benefit. Number four tonight. What about a real down-to-earth example of this? Is there somewhere I can look in the Bible and just get this all in one piece? Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. And look at verses 23 through 45. Or not 45, 35. We'll be here all night looking for 45. Matthew 18, beginning at verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle his accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he had not able, was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience, or have mercy with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience, or have mercy with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master of all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he could pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. There it is. There is a beautiful portrayal of the very thing that we're talking about. A man who owed a debt, who was in a position where he could not rectify or resolve it. And he begged his master, and his master said, I forgive you. He showed tremendous mercy. But that fellow went out and he found someone who owed him and they begged him. Nope. He didn't respond in kind with the mercy that he had been a recipient of. And his master, upon finding out, was not pleased at all and punished him the second round for that conduct and behavior. We call that parable of the kingdom, the unmerciful servant, and rightly so. Today, we can mimic that same behavior by not practicing what we call the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Oftentimes, we're recipients of mercy and favor and grace from others, and yet we may find ourselves on the giving end in the same situation or a similar situation, and we fail to do what has been done for us. We can't forget the golden rule, because then we would be like that scenario and situation in Matthew chapter 18. We often condemn people for doing the very thing that we are guilty of. Two wrongs don't make a right. But it's very helpful if I can be merciful, realizing my own frame and my own frailty and my own failures when I reach out to try to help and extend mercy to someone else. The unmerciful often forget that they have received mercy. It's almost like we need to have a mental plaque before our minds that remind us, you have received mercy. Don't make the mistake of being unmerciful. We will reap what we sow. That principle applies across the whole biblical spectrum. You reap what you sow. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. We get in return the fruit of the seeds that we sow. Here, again, referring back to Matthew 18, the unmerciful servant was delivered to the tormentors because he forgot the mercy that he had received, and in forgetting, he failed to extend it to others. James chapter 2, verse 13 says these sobering words, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And so judgment without mercy will be our lot and our fate if we don't work to embody this beatitude in our own lives. Those who have been the recipients of mercy, namely Christians, ought to understand and appreciate this principle more than any other. In our lives, because of our sins, we have come low. And yet God, because of His mercy, has reached down to us and has lifted us. But if we don't respond in like kind to others who are deserving and who are in situations where we have opportunity to do the same for them, it will not go well for us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. One other thought, as we bring this to a close, takes my mind at least to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1, where Solomon said these words, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Think about that as it relates to mercy. You cast your bread upon the water. You don't know where it might go for now, when it might return, but the admonition of this passage is it will return to you. Today, I am merciful to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or this person who needs to know the gospel, and I'm patient and merciful in their failures as I reach out and try to teach them and bring them along. The Bible teaches that bread cast on the water will return to us someday. And that's really exactly what Jesus has said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. May God help us to be the kind of people who will show the same compassion and mercy to others that we have been the recipients of. Tonight, as we bring this service to a close, we want to reflect the mercy of God in the extension of the invitation to you to become a Christian. Reading and studying God's Word and allowing it to produce faith in your heart, a faith that will lead you to repent of sin, to confess your faith in Christ Jesus, and to be baptized in water so that the God of mercy can wash your sins away. That is available to you tonight. We're going to sing a song to encourage. If you have a need, we hope you'll come as we stand and sing.